Well, share buybacks have become very popular over the last few years, in particular for tax reasons, where a taxpayer is looking to dispose of their shareholding in a company. But Treasury has responded with some fairly drastic anti-avoidance measures. And the question is being asked as to whether this is the death of share buybacks for that particular reason. To find out, I'm joined by Heinrich Lowe, Senior Associate in Tax at Cliffdecker Hofmeyr. Welcome, Heinrich.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And celebrating the record close on the Aussie, not celebrating what seemed to be some fairly draconian measures proposed by SARS here. But let's just dial it back a bit. Why have share buybacks been such a popular disposal mechanism for taxpayers, especially corporate taxpayers?
Yes, well, perhaps the answer is slightly complex, but maybe I should break it down by giving you an example and just set the scene. So let's say you have a company, a local South African company, Company A, and it owns shares in another South African company, Company B. So in other words, it has a share investment. Now, let's say Company A wishes to exit its investment, and it would usually go and look for a buyer, and it would sell its shares to that buyer. So let's say it finds Company C, who might be interested in the shares, sell its shares to Company C. What would usually happen in a case like that is Company A would either have to account for capital gains tax in respect of the disposal of those shares, or alternatively, if Company A held the shares as trading stock, it would have to account for full income tax in respect of that disposal. Now, that's usually either charged at 22.4% for capital gains tax and 28% if it's full income tax. But now, there's actually another way for Company A to achieve the same result and exit its investment, but to do so in a tax-free manner. So what it could do is it could actually approach Company C, ask Company C to rather subscribe for shares in Company B, being the target company. Company B can then use that subscription proceeds and repurchase Company A's shares. Now, those amounts paid to Company A will, for tax purposes, actually constitute an exempt dividend. It'll be exempt both in respect of income tax as well as in respect of dividend tax. So effectively, what you've done here is you've come up with a method whereby the same result can be achieved, but on a tax-free basis. Just a note here, this mechanism usually only works for local companies wanting to exit their share investments. It doesn't really work all that well for individuals or trusts.
And what about non-resident shareholders? So if you're looking at foreign shareholders?
Well, different considerations apply there. There are certain exemptions from tax when non-residents sell their shares in South African companies. So that's a bit of a different topic.
Right. So instead of paying the capital gains tax here at that rate that you said, what, 22.4%, the seller effectively divests in the target company and in the process receives an exempt dividend. I mean, one can see why that is. So popular. Why is it being viewed as avoidance, though?
Well, you can just imagine why SARS doesn't like these type of mechanisms, because it allows companies to cash in on their investments without paying tax. Look, there have always been methods in place or tools in place for SARS to attack these transactions. They could, for instance, say, well, the share buyback is actually a simulation. What the parties really intended was for Company A to sell its shares on a straight sale basis to Company B, but now they're basically simulating the transaction and saying, or at least inform, suggesting that it's a buyback. There are also general anti-avoidance provisions in our Income Tax Act that SARS could apply to attack these transactions. In fact, these type of transactions had been included in the reportable arrangements sort of scheme that SARS implemented some time ago. They didn't really like these transactions, and that's why they're acting now against them.
Now, what's on the table now? Because we have had anti-avoidance provisions that have sought to certainly attack simulated transactions and stripping. What's on the table now?
Yeah, so the tools that I mentioned that SARS currently has, they come with their own complex problems for SARS. So what they're suggesting now is a rather blunt instrument approach. What they're doing is they're saying that exempt dividend that's being received by the company exiting its investment, it's actually going to be caught up in the tax net now. It'll either be included as proceeds on a capital gains tax basis, if the shares are held on capital account, or if it's held as trading stock, then it will simply be included in the selling company's income.
But what happens if there's a proper commercial rationale for concluding the share buyback? Because there's this doctrine of substance over form that has generally been set out to attack these. Do you think SARS will be successful if there's a commercial rationale?
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems with the draft legislation that has been proposed. As I said, it's a bit of a blunt instrument approach, and there's a risk that legitimate transactions that don't have a view to avoid tax are going to get caught up in and actually be taxable. So there will still actually be some opportunity for the public and for stakeholders to make comments, and hopefully we're going to see an amended version of this anti-avoidance rule that does in fact take into consideration that there are legitimate reasons why companies might enter into share buyback arrangements.
What is the timeline for that comment period, Heinrich?
Well, it'll be soon. I'm not exactly sure when the consultation process will be, but both written submissions can be made, and there will also be an event scheduled at some point where you can make oral representations. It's going to come up soon.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a flood of representations to Treasury on this particular area. I'll be chatting to Professor Brian Cantor on Friday. He just recently released his book on how to get South Africa growing, and he really does signal the tax feedback loop and how, as Treasury seeks to close all of these loopholes and try and make the pip squeak just a little bit more, we're going to see a greater pushback by taxpayers, certainly taxpayers who are questioning how their tax rands are being spent. But that's a conversation for another day. Heinrich, thanks so much for sharing quite a technical area of tax law, but equally important for companies operating in South Africa.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. It is a complex topic, but we'll see where it goes after the public consultations.
That's Heinrich Lowe, Senior Associate in Tax at CDH, on the death of share buybacks as a way to structure one's tax affairs efficiently. As I said, government ignores that tax feedback loop at its peril.